Ephesians, please, chapter 1. Book of Ephesians is the main thrust of the book. As you know, you read, you can tell it that is the blessings of God and the riches that's in Christ Jesus and all that God has for us, and it's that is accessible to us. But I wonder how much of us really make use of what God has provided. And that's one of the things that Paul was speaking to them about. He said, look, you're living like you're in poverty, but you have all these blessings. You got all these gifts that God has given to you, and yet you're walking around as though, you know, you are in poverty when it comes to spiritual things. And so Paul addresses them about this. And another thing, if you'll notice, there's one thing that is a word that keeps coming up quite often, is full. Full. God wants us to be filled. And he wants to fill us up. You know, I'm afraid in my own life, oftentimes I get full of everything else if I'm not careful. I get so busy, I start getting full of work. You know, I got so much stuff going on at work, and it fills my mind. It fills my, you know, my time. And not only that, family, oftentimes, you know, you get so full of this difficulty and this problem, and the next thing you know, your life's getting full of problems, you know, instead of the one who can take care of all problems. And, you know, what the Word of God says, you know, that we ought, you know, to put God first and, you know, seek the righteousness of God. He said, and then all these other things will be taken care of. But, you know, it's got to be something that we exercise. It's not going to happen just falling off the porch. It's something that we got to practice. We got to put into practice. God's given us a mind and a will, and he desires for us, you know, to work. You know, that's still in the Bible. Work is a important part of being a Christian. We got to work at these things. Like study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, we're not saved by works, but, you know, we will find here in the book of Ephesians that God has a work for us to do. We are his workmanship, and then he says that as he works on us, it's so that we can work with him, you know. Amen. Not work for him, work with him. Amen. You know, take his yoke upon you. You know, he'll take all the weight and everything, but and you can do nothing without him. But it's so important that we learn that the Christian life is a life of work. And the only way we can do that is when we realize and we take advantage of all the riches that God Almighty has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. That's one of the things that if we would just get a hold of it, could be a very great help to us, is that we're in Christ Jesus by the will of God. Knowing what God's will is very helpful. I mean, if you don't know that it's God's will, you know, to read your Bible and to pray and to knock doors and all this thing. Yeah, you know, you're not going to take heed to it too much. But when you realize that this is God's will to reach out and with the gospel, reach out with the gospel, then you'll do it, knowing it is God's will. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and God is letting us know right here that he's an apostle, and that word apostle, You know, we have this tendency to emphasize, you know, the witness, you know, that he was a witness of the Lord Jesus. He saw him, you know, and he did. He saw him by the way. And he may have seen him on, you know, there in Jerusalem before, you know, he was saved and a believer. I don't know. But it's more than just being an eyewitness. The main thrust of that word right there, apostle, is one sent. One that God has sent. It's about the same as saying, you could about put the word angel there. One that has been sent with a message. And that's what an angel is. That is part as a host, part of the host of heaven that God has sent with the word of God and declared unto men. And then you find this word apostle right here. It's one that's been sent with the gospel of God and to give that gospel out. And the Bible teaches us we're to follow him as he followed Christ. With Jesus Christ, he came in this world not to be served, but to serve. He came in this world. He said, hey, look, he said, it's our task in this life is to be servant to mankind. That's why Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He said, that's why I came. Why? Because that's what pleased the Father. That's what the Lord sent him to do. He said, I do the will of my Father which sent me, and this is my Father's will. Amen? And then he laid some of it out. He said, all which the Father had given me, I should lose nothing. And he's not. He's going to get every last one of it. And you can either be a part of that, enjoy that, and be filled up with the riches, hey, of reaching out and touching people with the gospel and having people come to Christ by you being a minister of God, or you can lose rewards and sit there on the seat to do nothing. You know, it's our choice. It ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. It just has to do with these riches that God has provided for us. This is part of them. Hey, man, you know, there's those, they're going to have crowns to throw at the feet of Christ, full of the jewels of people that they, you know, they ministered to in this life, that actually Jesus ministered to through you, you know. But then there'll be others of us, and buddy, man, the fire's going to fall on that judgment day, and God blows the ashes out, and there it is, little gold speck, and he's going to reach down and get in them like that. You're going to have a little gold ducks. And that's going to be all the crown some of us is going to get, you know. Like a little Hindu, you know. Duck right between their eyes. It's just, you know, it's whatever. Years ago, when I was still in the Methodist church, my pastor there said something that stuck with me. He said, you're going to have exactly what you put into it. You're going to get out of it exactly what you put into it. We're going to have in this church exactly what we put into this church. We're going to have in our families exactly what we put into our families. We're going to have in this life exactly what we put into this life. We're going to have in this mind exactly what we put into this mind. You know, you're going to have what you put into it. And you're going to have exactly, and he went on to say, he said, you're going to have exactly the kind of church that you want. The kind of mind that you want, the kind of life that you want, is all determined what do we desire. That's the heart. That's the heart. That's what's going to determine that. What's your heart? You know, and we need to let the Lord Jesus Christ be our heart. Let his heart be our heart. It'll guide us and strengthen us. Paul, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, to be faithful, there's only one way to be faithful. You got to be full of faith. You got to be full of faith. You know how you get full of faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. So, to be faithful, you got to start off by being full of faith. You got to fill yourself with the Word of God. And then more than just reading it, Hey, to be full of the Word of God, there's something else that's got to be coupled by that. See, faith without works is dead, being alone. But when we, hey, let faith have, you know, its perfect work, you know, it's going to produce things. Faith will always produce works. And the Word of God, when we're obedient to it, will always bring forth works. The works of God. Whatever it is. So to the faithful which are in Christ Jesus, these are people that's got works. They're doing something for God. Amen? If they're faithful, they're full of the faith of God, and faith always produces works. Now, I know Paul said, we're saved by faith without the deeds of the law, without works. You know, I know that. Salvation, works don't have nothing to do with ourselves. Only the works of Christ can save us. His works. But guess what? I received the faith of the Son of God when I got saved. That was His works. Amen? That done that. His works on the... By coming to this world, living an upright, perfect life, He did not commit one sin. If He had, He had to went to the cross for His own sin. Praise God, He never sinned not one time, and neither was He able to, because He was God in flesh, and He went to the cross, sinless, died there, amen, and took our sin upon Himself. He come in here, He come to this earth to do a work. And that by through His work, we could be saved. And receive the faith of the Son of God in us. That now that we have received that faith in us, guess what it does? It works in us. It works in us to produce works in us. Amen. Hey, just cause we're saved without works doesn't mean that we don't have a work to do. As a matter of fact, God has foreordained that we should do the works of God. And that comes through faith. So the faithful which are in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace. I like this. He starts to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is... saying through the Apostle Paul in these words right here, this is what I've sent unto you. This is what I'm doing in you. Hey, you're faithful through the Word of God which you've received. You're faithful because of the will of God which is working in Paul, and now you're to have that same will. Follow Him as He follows my Son. And notice this, grace be to you and peace. Now, there's no peace without the grace of God. There's no way we can have peace without the grace of God. Amen. Because if we got what we deserve, we know that there could be no peace. There's no peace unto the wicked. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all be wicked down to our core, but by His grace, we have been made whole. We've been washed by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ has paid for our sin debt. And believe me, hey, there's nobody sitting in here that's arrived. We all, from day to day, from time to time, we fail constantly to live as the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that... You know, we have that. It's just not in us to live that life. The only person who can live a Christian life is Christ. And it's Christ in us that's able to do it. That's the reason why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Oh yeah, you can sin. You can live like the devil. You can raise Cain. You can do all those things. But you still couldn't do it without Him, because He gives you the very breath in you. And He can take it at any time. When He made them, put them in the garden. I mean, you know, He gave a choice, you know. Don't eat that tree.
They couldn't eat it if he hadn't given them the choice and the strength and the tree to eat it from.
Yeah.
They disobeyed and ate it, and you know, so, and now they're in sin. We're saved by the grace of God, but I'm telling you something, our soul has been saved and our body has not. And I'm going to tell you, this brain up here is a part of this body. It's still attached. That old man still tries to work through it and fill our mind with things it ought not be full of. Man, something came up at work the other day. It wasn't nothing much, but next thing I know, it pushed a button in my brain, and all of a sudden this filth come rolling in here, and I'm like shaking it out. Oh, God, have mercy. Help me.
Brain lies to your body. Your body says, I can't do it.
Your brain says, yeah, you can. But anyway, the thing of it is, it's the grace of God that gives us peace. I'm going to tell you what. If you looked at your life that you still live right now, and it wasn't for the promise of the grace of God that you have eternal life, if it was all based upon the kind of life that you live, how many in here would say, oh man, I feel confident I would get to go to heaven? I mean, if it was based upon the life that you live right now, each and every day. Because none of us want sin. We're condemned. And it ain't just what we do. Oftentimes it's what we don't do. So if it wasn't by the grace of God, nobody could be at peace. But we are resting finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how rich you've got it? Hey, you don't have to. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. If you look at what you know about yourself, you would know that there's no way you deserve and would get the opportunity to go to heaven. But instead, we look to what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, what he's done in us by saving us, and we have, knowing the grace of God, that it's of grace, then we can have confidence that our soul is secure. But man, if you start listening to, you know, your brain and what it tells you about yourself, and you'd be staggering around, and say, oh, I don't know, maybe I am. You'd be like a lot of crowd out there, you know. Who doesn't understand it's totally by grace. You start putting works into it, you're in trouble. But you have peace with God because of the grace of God. And it said, and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I asked this question last week, and we quickly went over this. I said, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ always blessed his Father. He pleased him. He said he always does those things. I always do those things to please the Father. You know, that word blessed means to make happy. And that should be the central job that we have in life, is to please and to bless God, make him happy. And the only way we can do that is being obedient to the things that he showed us for us to do. Now, we know that we can't do that in ourselves, so that should keep us on our knees talking with the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to help us and encourage us and give us the strength. And pray for one another because, hey, we're going to stagger through this life. We can use all the help we can get. And I still believe that prayers strengthen people. If I did, I wouldn't be praying for Brother Jim on this election right here. We wouldn't have prayer this morning for those sick and those that have lost loved ones this week. But we believe that prayer can make a difference. Why? Because God said so. That's the only reason, that's the only way that we know it, is because God said so. Prayer, and so, we ought to live, we want to live a life that blesses God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, the psalmist said. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. All the time I turn around, I'm hearing people, may God bless you. And I said, God has certainly blessed me. He constantly pours his blessings out in our lives. I said, just pray that I'll bless him. Well, I remember after 9/11, everybody had that on their bumper sticker and everything. God bless America. God has blessed America so much, so abundantly, and we've taken it all for granted. It's about time for America to bless God.
Amen.
Do some things that America start making decisions that would please God. Stand up and fight against the things that are wrong. Hey, America is not our government. America is its people. It's us.
Amen.
It's us. It's not the government up there. If the government ain't doing right, we need to try to do something about it. Vote them rascals out. Call them up. Let them know you don't appreciate the stupid things that they're doing. We ought to have 100,000 Boy Scouts of America called the Boy Scouts of America and told them, he said, we don't appreciate what you're doing, and we're pulling out. So you can take your old crowd and go where you want to with it, and we're going back doing what God meant for it to be to begin with. Educating and strengthening our young men. Time for America to be more concerned about blessing God than it is worrying about our finances. I'm sorry, I've listened to the guys, I've listened to the advertisements this past week, and everybody's telling, vote for me because, you know, we're going to make the economy better in Rowan County. I ain't worried about the economy of Rowan County. I'm worried about the moral character of Rowan County. I'm more concerned about people caring about people and caring about their community. I ain't heard a single one of them say anything about crime or, you know the need to strengthen our base. I ain't heard a single one of them talk about money. And I'm going to tell you, it's sad to say, the majority of Americans are going to vote from their pocketbook. And they have been for years. People ask me why I'm Republican. I said, I am a Republican by conviction. He said, what's that? I said, I'm a Republican because I don't believe I need to vote people in that's going to do what I want. I believe I need to vote people who's got enough moral character who's going to do what's best. I'm serious about that. I've heard people, well, I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to do what I want. Well, yeah, that's our problem right now. Everybody voting their pocketbook. They're not concerned about nothing else except for money. What's the love of money? What's wrong with America? America's love of money. That's the reason why we got the drug situations we got. That's the reason why we got the gang situations we got. There's money in that. Huh? And many of the politicians would have it so. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's no way that we can say, well, God, you've kept back anything. He's provided all spiritual blessings. Everything that we need to do what God wants us to do in this life. You can't get around that. That's what he said. He's blessed us. He didn't say with some. Now, I understand all don't always mean all. Huh? Sometimes over in the Old Testament, all meant all the children of Israel, all the believers. You know? All the children of God. It's not all people, it's all the children of God sometimes. But right here, he said it's all spiritual blessings. So anything that's a spiritual blessing, he's given it to us. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Hey, he's given us all the fruits of the Spirit. You can have all of it you want. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going the wrong direction. Galatians chapter 5. These things that ought to bless us, they should be a blessing to us. Some people ain't blessed unless they, you know, get another $100 bill in their hand. These are things that should bless us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean godly love. So much of us are so involved with how bad everything's going, most of us are, you know, got our minds full of hate. I hate this and I hate that, you know. God said, hey, what I want to give you is love. Love. Look at that next one. Joy. I'll never forget being down Mississippi one time. An old preacher got up there and he was preaching them missionaries. He said, I hear y'all walking around. He said, man, you talk about it, you complain about this, complain about that. He said, your lower jaw. He said, man, you look like a front end loader dragging the ground, man. Grabbing up a load of dirt. He said, why don't y'all quit money grubbing and start believing God? Has God given you all spiritual blessings? Is God going to take care of you on this? Is he going to do what he promised and said he would do? He said, just get up there and work. If you're doing what God wants you to do, he said, it's going to happen in God's time. Quit your whining and crying, he said. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Peace. I mean peace with God and the peace of God. Well, when you know everything is going, it's all coming out in the wash. Well, I mean, one of these days, I mean, the dirty dishwater is going out, you know. And buddy, the clean clothes is going on the line, you know. I mean, hey, we can have peace knowing everything's going to be well. Long-suffering. Now, if the only way you would ever have peace and joy is you get some of this right here. That long-suffering. Patience. You know? I'm just willing to put up with some stuff. Now, you come in this class, the only way you're going to have a whole lot of joy and patience, you've got to be long-suffering. You're going to have to put up with me for about 40 minutes. I mean, you're going to have some long-suffering.
I tell you what,
one thing is I always pray when I come to church, I say, oh God, I say, convict me where I need to be convicted. Show me my faults, my frailties, my sins, the things I need to change. Don't let me come to church and be comfortable. I mean, turn the heat up. Gouge me, stick me a little bit, prick me. Hey, surgery is not fun, but it's needed sometimes. You got a cancer in there, you need it cut out.
He said, gentleness. Goodness, faith. Man, these are kind of things that
We can have all this he wants. Meekness, temperance, against such, there is no law. God said you can have all this you want. He said you can be filled up with this. He said, or you can walk around with a long face, you know, or you can enjoy all these spiritual blessings that I have for you. Have all the love you want. Have all the joy you want. Now, if you want to, you can walk around being mully grubbing, sad all the time, discouraged, cast down. You can do all that you want. It's your right. Or you can kick that aside and say, Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you. I know that you're here with me. You're going with me all the way. He said, it ain't easy. Sometimes, no, it ain't. And there's going to be some times you might need some help. That's the reason why I would encourage everybody to have at least one or two good friends. Because there's going to be times you're going to need to call somebody beside you and say, I'm carrying some stuff. You say, well, how about God? Yeah, you go to him first. But sometimes it just helps to have somebody that can put their hand in yours and know he's with you. He's going to stick with you. He's going to stand by you. This helps sometimes. Now, if you get one or two really good friends like that in life, you're a fairly successful person. But I would encourage you to have at least one or two like that. Then, turn back over here to... Sorry, went the wrong direction. There's so much in these verses. Blessed be to God and Father, blesseth all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to finish right here. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Just knowing that it's God's will for you to be in Christ. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He said, many are called. Few are chosen. He said, and you might ask yourself, why would I be chosen? Why didn't he choose somebody, you know, who's a lot smarter than me? Over in Corinthians, he said, not many wise in this world. God didn't choose somebody stronger than me. Maybe physically virile that, you know, could go harder. And he said, not many mighty after the flesh are chosen. Why did he choose us? I believe every person that gets chosen is one reason. One reason alone. When you were unbelief, you didn't know nothing. But when that message from God's Word came to you, and you believed God, and because you believed God, you wanted it. You wanted Him. That's the one thing got you chosen. And a lot of people, God has called. He gave them the Word of God. They may believe what they heard. Many of them would say, well, not now. Maybe later. They procrastinated. Oh, the devil will get up on the shoulder. I remember hearing that story a long time ago about all the devils got together and said, what are we going to do? All these people get saved. How can we slow this thing down? What can we do? And one old devil jumped up and said, I got an idea. Hey, let's just tell everybody there ain't no God. And a lot of people fall for that. But Lucifer said, oh, come on. He said, you see too much of his power and his goodness and his strength working through this world. He said, ain't nobody gonna fall for that. Old devil, another devil said, I know. We're just telling there ain't no devil or no hell.
come on. He said, they see our wickedness in this world. There's no way that they're going to fall for that. And another old devil jumped up. He said, I know. Let's just tell them, not now. Just not now. Yeah, you need to get, we'll tell them, yeah, you need to get saved, but not now. Just put it off. You got living to do right now. Just not now.
That works with many people. God knows it would work.
And there are those, when the Word of God comes to them, they believe. They believe God. They believe Jesus Christ and His claims. They believe that there's salvation in Him only. And because we believe that, we get chosen. Every person gets chosen because you believe God. And we were chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. And I don't know about you, but that makes God really big for me. It makes me really small, but it makes God really big. Because from the foundation of the world, before He even made the earth, before He even made Lucifer, even before He made the host of heaven, from the foundation, from the very beginning, it was already decided in God's foreknowledge. Jesus would die for us. He said, now choose this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. You know what? Because He knew that we were going, that we would believe. He didn't make us. He didn't make us to believe. He didn't put that in you and said, you got to believe. And He put this on, you can't believe. No. Many of them believe, still say no. Paul wrote about that. He said, some believe in vain. They believe it. But they either say, not now, or no. I don't need that. I'm okay.
God is so great. He painted the whole canvas. And I can't see it, but God does. God is so great. He is not only Jesus is not only the Alpha, but He's the Omega and everything in between, all at the same time. God is. Sometimes I just get thinking about it, and I just want to praise God and cry, weep. He's just so big. I can feel it. I can see His great love, wherewith He has loved us. And there's nobody that can say, well, He didn't love me. Oh, yes, He did. He reached out to everyone. But He's so great, He knew who would and who would not. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You, dear Lord, for God. Your will for us is that we tell everyone. And God, we'll leave the saving up to You. But God, we'll reach out every opportunity we get, dear God, with the gospel. Lord, that we might have a full reward. That we might please You. God, I can't save one soul, but I can go to the ones that You will save. And I can also go warn the ones who will not be saved. Lord, just help me to be willing to do what it is You have for me to do. Lord, I pray for this class that we would start enjoying, dear God, Lord, all that You provided for us in Christ Jesus, that we will start loving our Bible the way we ought to. And get in that book and read it and let it discern us and show us, dear Lord, where we need to make changes and where we need to let you work in our lives. And Father, now again, I pray for all the things that was mentioned earlier. I pray for Brother Calvin, dear God. I pray you'd comfort him. Dear Lord, strengthen his mind. Lord, let him look unto you. And Lord, reach out to him, Lord, I pray. I pray for all those who've lost loved ones this week and those that are sick. I thank you for, dear Lord, how you've been recovering, Brother David. I pray for those who are suffering, dear God, and family struggles, dear God. I pray, Lord. Dear God, I pray, dear Lord, for the services today. Lord, I don't want to hear what Brother Anthony's got to say this morning. Lord, I want to hear what you've got to say, Lord Jesus. And I pray you'll preach him this morning. He'll yield himself completely up to you. Dear God, that you'll direct every word. We'll walk out here and say, surely we heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ today.